Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about maturity, the power to discern. One of the jobs that every parent knows that he or she has is to bring the child to maturity. All the training is directed toward that. It's not that you are going to force your way upon your children for the rest of their lives. It's that you want to guide them in learning to make decisions for themselves. You want to establish a firm foundation of truth, of principles on which future decisions are to be made. And as they grow toward maturity, they have to learn to make those decisions. I can remember my parents agonizing over the points at which they had to allow us to make our own decisions. We had been brought up to early teenage on the principles, and they had made decisions for us. But then as we began to move into teenage years, gradually they had to take hands off and remind us again of the principles on which we had been raised and ask us to face our decisions before God. And that's always a very painful thing for a parent, to cut the apron strings, to see the child going off by himself. I remember the chills that went up my spine when I first saw my daughter driving out the driveway in our brand new Chrysler when she had only had her license about 1 month. Just that was a big watershed for me to cross. She was now a driver, a licensed driver, and the only car available, of course, was our car, which happened to be a new one. Maturity. It's a painful stage. It's painful to get there. It's painful for parents to see their children arrive at the threshold of maturity and then to let them go. It must be painful for God to watch us, His children, growing into maturity and waiting in patience and long-suffering as we make mistakes and forget the principles that He has already taught us and fail to make decisions on the right basis. But one definition of maturity is the power to discern, and it takes a personal relationship with God, growing and walking with Him in order to give us this power. My friend Van, whose real name is Eleanor Vandevort, went to Africa as a missionary. She worked for 13 years in the southern Sudan with a tribe called Nuers, N-U-E-R. And then she was kicked out by the Arab government because she had been working on the translation of a language which was now illegal. And when she was kicked out, she came to visit me in the jungle of Ecuador. I had been in Ecuador for nearly 11 years at that time, and so we had a great many things to discuss. We had known each other as college students, had not seen each other since. We had both been working on languages. She had lost 13 years worth of work, humanly speaking, because it was no longer legal to print, write, or teach in the New Era language. And I had lost the work on two different languages for various reasons. And so we began to talk about the mysteries of serving God. And I remember Van saying to me as we sat there in my living room in a very civilized house that Jim Elliot had built. We sat there and looked out over the Atung Yaku, which is one of the headwaters of the Amazon. And Van said to me, "You know, Bet, things were simple before I went to Africa." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I knew what a missionary's job was, and I knew exactly what godless people were supposed to be like. And I went out there thinking that I knew the new heirs and knew my job and knew exactly what was going to happen. But as soon as I got to know the individuals," and she told me about some of those individuals, one of them was named Toot, another one was named Gaj, and another one was named Yol. She said, "As I got to know individuals, my categories began to crumble. I realized that I didn't know as much as I knew before." Well, she was in a better state then, wasn't she? Because, as Socrates said, the man who doesn't know and doesn't know that he doesn't know is in a very bad state. But the man who doesn't know and knows that he doesn't know is in not nearly so bad a state. So part of maturity is learning that you don't know as much as you thought you did. Someone else has said beginning to think is beginning to be undermined. If we make people think they're thinking, they'll love us. If we make people think, they're likely to hate us. Now, if everything is very simple and black and white, and we've got everything nailed down neatly as to how the Christian life is supposed to work and what missionary work is all about and one thing and another, then we see Christian virtues in Christian people, and we see the works of the flesh in non-Christians. What happens when all of a sudden you see the works of the flesh being very obvious in Christians, and you begin to see Christian virtues in non-Christians? Your categories begin to be broken up, don't they? God has all kinds of ways of shaking our mountain refuge. Does the breakdown of a Christian break down your faith? Some of us have certainly been tempted to have our faith shaken when we hear some of the sad stories of public figures who have fallen into moral breakdowns. And yet, as mature Christians, we are not at liberty to reject the facts. These things are true. These things have happened. And so the facts drive us again to the acknowledgement of mystery, of God's saving responsibility. Where does our faith rest? On Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Do you know all the answers? Has God given you an answer to your whys? Well, he certainly hasn't given me an answer. He says, "Trust me." And I have to acknowledge, I don't know all the answers. I can't know them. But I can learn to know Christ. I can walk with him and talk with him and ask him to speak to me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Who are the mature? Well, according to Hebrews 5:14, we read that they are those who have their faculties trained by practice. It isn't a rule book that God has given us. It's a book of principles. A rule book doesn't call for discernment. If the child spills his milk and gets a spanking, he's being trained. It's not principles that he's concerned with at that time. It doesn't take any mature discernment for the child to learn the second time that if he spills his milk on purpose — I'm talking about throwing your milk on the floor, I'm not talking about a 2-year-old's childish accident, we spill milk too, don't we, sometimes — but when a child does something deliberately bad, then he deserves a spanking. That's not mature discernment. That's just a conditioned reflex, like the monkey who is taught to pull a certain rope in order to get a banana. These are not signs of a mature mind. But the parent's job is to teach Johnny to think, to discern, to make his choices, to bring children to adulthood. A servant is trained for a job. A son is trained for life. When God gave the Ten Commandments, they contained the seeds of all the moral law. But it was not the last word. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he expanded on those commandments. He showed that the letter killed, but the Spirit gives life. The Ten Commandments say, "Thou shalt not murder." But Jesus made that commandment infinitely broader when he said, "Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer." Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We can be in a quandary about many things. Sometimes we think, oh, if only God had given us a rule book and a doctrine book, he would have eliminated the loopholes and the schisms and the false teaching and the squabbling and the perplexity which has plagued the church for all these centuries. Well, yes, he might have, but at the same time, he might have produced a crop of spiritual dwarfs. It's God's purpose to shape us to the likeness of his Son. This is the true good referred to in Romans 8:28. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. But that pattern and that purpose is to shape us to the likeness of his Son. Maturity is the power to discern. Maturity is the right sort of independence. And here's a hymn which I think defines something of the maturity that we're talking about here. Frederick W. Faber's, "For the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. But we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify its strictness with a zeal he will not own. It's not conformity to a static code, but relationship with the person of Christ himself that brings us to maturity."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.